Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
It's a brilliant summer plan as you've given up. Yeah, welcome everybody to Fly Racing Racer X Review Pod, Salt Lake City Supercross. Lots to get into. We're on video now, so thanks to the guys in the YouTube comments. I love the fact that you all agree with me and think the other two guys are completely out of their mind. So thank you for that, man. I appreciate it. Flyracing.com. Use the code PULPMX when checking out at Fly Racing. They are the home to the 2025 Supercross champion. That's big news for the guys at Fly Racing, so congrats to them as well. And thank you for using the code, whether it's Kinetic Mesh, Kinetic Evo gear. We saw the good, the bad, the ugly gear that Fly made this weekend. That's not for sale, but pretty cool to see. And use the code PULPMX when you're checking out at Fly Racing and flyracing.com to save with those guys head to toe. They've got you covered. Formula helmets, amazing. So really love those Formula helmet. Super quiet, super lightweight. And look at the technology behind keeping you safe as well, from the Rion to the Conehead EPS design, all of it, man. Really cool. So thank you to those guys. Renthal.com. Factory Honda, KTM, Mitch Payton, Kawasaki. We're using Renthal products, whether it's twin wall bar, whether it's the fat bar or the 7/8 bar that the old trusty guys use. Renthal.com, really informative website. Mountain bike parts available at power sports dealers nationwide. And, of course, the lock-on grip is selling fantastic. And we thank those guys as well. We'll tell you more about Racetech, motorsport.com, Maxxis, Onyx Maps later on in the show. But thanks again to Anton for putting this whole thing together as well, our guy at Course Heading. Appreciate that. All right, let's talk some Salt Lake City. First up, the man that was doing some pit reporting there at Salt Lake City and some technical advice, and also screwing up the audio, which longtime listeners of our show here will appreciate. The Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, I could have used technical advice. I wasn't able to provide technical advice. I don't know. My microphone never worked. We didn't know until I did my very first report, which was RJ Hampshire going RJ in the heat race. Didn't work. They're screaming in my headset, just stop, just stop, just stop. Lee, take it. And spent the next 2 hours testing mics, changing mics. Never got it working until maybe 250 main. I was eventually on a mic that was wired into the podium. I was just standing 10 feet away from JT probably. And I'm like, this is pointless, guys. Just do your normal show. We don't need five people. I'm done. Like, there's nothing I'm going to contribute at this point anyway. And the only loss was I was not supposed to be on the director's chairs with the post-race show. It was supposed to be just JB and AC with the champion. But there was nothing else I could do because I didn't have any microphones to work out in the pits. So they're like, grab a chair and sit next to them. But I was wearing a polo at the time with pants designed to wear with a polo. So I quickly had to switch back my attire back to the suit and was not prepared for that. And I probably looked terrible compared to them. And people are going to say it was because I was cheap, but it was because that was not what I was supposed to do.
Okay. So I've only watched the mains back and I didn't know that this never happened at all. I did get the tweets.
We never got
from our listeners that really appreciated you having crappy audio. Because
Buddy FMIP222 said, was I using the same phone that's been terrible on these pods for years?
Yeah. But Weege, let me just ask you this. The check still cashes, right?
That was literally the text. I was getting texts from the TV executives apologizing. We're so sorry it's not working. And I just wrote one of them back. I go, it's the easiest paycheck I'll ever get. Don't feel bad for me, guys.
Also good. from Also from Fly Racing and the NBC show as well, Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. And as a part of this team, I could hear what was happening, a lot of it with Weege. I actually threw the show to Weege when it went sideways the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was very challenging evening on many fronts. We had a lot going on. That was part of it. Pre-show, three in the booth, Weege in the paddock. There were a lot of moving parts. So typically you're going to have something go wrong. I just felt like there was more than that. Like in the pre-show, like a lot of it, you can't ever tell. Like the pre-show, the riders showed up late, so we didn't have the interview set that we're supposed to. So we're improvising on the spot. And man, it was really chaotic. And hopefully it wasn't incredibly obvious that we were scrambling, but we were scrambling. So, I guess it was honestly probably set up for what we're going to see the rest of the night. It was probably the precursor to the racing, and that's just kind of the kind of night it was going to be. Maybe it was a full moon. I don't know, but it felt like it.
Well, I may as well just pile on then now while we're get going. But, guys, I get you got to show Deegan getting the checkers.
Hold
I'm
on,
down
us?
With that.
Like, you think this is us now?
Well, you work on the TV show.
Right, but you think we are in control of what's shown?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. I get you got to show Deegan getting the checkers. I'm a subscriber to that. But, dude, Seth is 2 seconds back and making a run, and we're seeing Deegan look around riding by himself. I know the TV show is hard. I'm not critical of it nearly as much as a lot of people because it's hard to do. I've done those jobs, and I also, like Weege says, it's just not one ball you can follow around. So it's not easy. But, guys.
No, I agree. I agree with you totally. I had nothing to do at that point in the show, so I'm just standing on the podium watching with the jerk cam, which is our portable monitor.
Yeah, very appropriate.
Me, Adam, and Justin are watching, and I literally start screaming, what? Because I wanted to see it myself.
Well, Stu
and
Lee.
You're seeing Hatmaker make a last-ditch effort, and you know the whoops are coming.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Deegan's just cruising. I was yelling.
Stu and Lee are not even talking. They're looking at Seth. They're breaking the number one rule of broadcast, which is don't talk about what's not on the TV.
Yes, but because, how could you not help yourself? You couldn't stop yourself.
Yeah, right.
I mean, realistically, like I wasn't there. I don't know the rules. I don't know how this goes, but I think everybody would probably agree we needed a two box there. You know, like we show Deegan win, we show the battle. That's what should have happened. I don't know why. I don't know if we need to go full screen for the Deegan thing. If there's like an unwritten rule there, I don't have 30 years of TV experience to tell you that, but I think we were all thinking at the moment as we should have been two boxed.
Someone told me in TV world, you have to show the checkers
of
the guy
true.
Winning the race.
Saying,
you know what I mean? So
we could have done two boxes and shown it.
Two box, three box, four box. I don't know, man, but okay. So Seth, for people who didn't see it, Seth was really close, came out of the right-hand turn before the whoops and got sideways, and that did him in. But had he not gotten sideways, that left at the end after the 2-2 or 3-1 would have been on fire.
So did you see the lap? Because yes, that happened for sure. But I think just as pivotal, the lap before that, Seth missed the rhythm leading up to the whoops.
Yeah, leading up to the whoops,
So much time there because they were going three all the way down, and he missed one of the threes, and I was like, that's it. That is going to keep him too far back. And he still got close again, but man, if he had hit that rhythm, closed in on the whoops that lap leading up to the white flag, it would have been a barn burner last lap.
And Hunter Yoder didn't do many favors either. But I just watching that back, I'm like, holy smokes, guys. But anyways, whatever. Mistakes happen. But
sometimes with the two box thing, it's even like the technology to do it. Like sometimes it's two specific cameras, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes it's something like that, where like at that moment we didn't have the one camera to do this to get the other camera, like where they are on the track. Sometimes two cameras can't pick up, or it takes a drone, and maybe the drone was done at that point. A lot of times it's literally a technical. We know two boxes better, but there's a few minutes here and there where we're not able to do the two box because the drone is down or this other camera is not working or something. It could even been that, but I agree. I hope it was an accident. And
in
not
theory,
a
we all
you guys, you guys earned the jerk cam this week and tell Spider to pick it up. I don't know, man.
Well, JT, I still feel like we did a great job this weekend, and we were honored, in fact, JT.
Yep.
Let's show Steve what we got here. For those these are number one plates, courtesy of our friends at Feld for our great work.
Yeah, okay. Year. Great job, guys. Yeah, that's super. Yeah, I got one of those, too. I got one of those, too.
For Weege, the ceremony just rolls on. Like, this is just more accolades for Jason Wygant. I just got to join in this weekend.
Look at that. Look at that behind me. AMA Journalist of the Year.
I brought this up last year.
This was what Weege, we got these last year.
Oh, yeah, hang on. I got that, too. Telly, major awards. Telly awards, Steve.
After what happened this weekend, those should be sent back. You should send those back.
These are for us.
This is my screen now.
Okay. That's my screen. That's my screen now. I got one of those two guys. After Chad Reed won the Supercross title, Yamaha gave me a number one plate with my name on it. He's saying congratulations. And I had about as much to do with Chad Reed winning that Supercross title as you two jerkies do with this TV broadcast. Okay. So
did you go on the podium and put a number one finger up?
I did not.
You did not?
No, I did not.
Chose not to, or you weren't there?
No, I chose not to.
No way.
Yeah.
You're probably the first and only.
This is very on brand. This is very on brand.
I mean, I helped Chad with some testing for sure during the year here and there
like
at the test track.
You should have been on the podium. Like holding up a number one, no, don't do that. But like you were a part of this effort. Like,
no.
You were.
I remember Chad and I didn't like each other.
I know you didn't.
By the way, you guys all saw the AMA Award, Media Member Award, in the press box last week. Well, this week there was more shenanigans. I put it on my social, but it actually kind of backfired because there was a black and white photo of Weege there and a signature saying, keep trying or try hard, guys. I don't know. But three or four people were like, did he die? Because this looks like a funeral photo. This looks like a funeral photo. So I don't know if it was Sean Brennan or Wygant or who that was. But again,
started. Might have been in New Jersey. Remember, I came up and I had my microphone with me.
Yeah.
Came to the press box. Right. I had my NBC microphone.
Yeah.
You were not happy about that.
No.
Come to think of it, I believe I had the microphone because we were doing extensive testing, and the microphone worked that day. We did not test this weekend, and it did not work.
Well,
I tested, and Will tested. And the kind of the rule is if one works, they all work. But that rule seems to maybe be out the window now.
Anyway, JT, you'll be surprised. No, I think you were there. Steve was giving me a lot of grief for carrying the microphone around all day in New Jersey.
I mean,
and then Sean Brennan and I kicked up I said I was going to do this. I'm like, how about for Salt Lake City? I put an autographed, glossy, black and white headshot of myself to inspire these guys to maybe get to the level I am. So. This is my plan all along. The AMA award just fell perfectly into my lap. Yes, it said, aim high, keep dreaming, media gang.
We all thought you died. We thought you died because the way it looked was, it's one of those funerals on photos on top of a casket. But anyways.
Great photo.
Yeah.
Great photo.
All right, never mind. I don't want to get into you walking into the press box with a microphone with your flex, but we'll just move on. This 250 race was absolutely nutty. Victory lap for me, JT, though. You won't give it to me. I know that. But I'm taking it anyways. Nope. Well, fantasy, yes. I'll take that, too. But I said on this show or the Pulp show or the some sort of stupid show I do that Davies and Deegs were going to go 1-2. They were the fastest 250 guys, especially on the hard pack on the West that the East guys haven't had. And yes, we'll talk about Davies because that was horrific and we hope he's okay. But Beaumaire just jumped in there for me and the West was the two better riders by far. And if Davies hadn't gotten hurt, he probably would have been in the top three. And so I'll just take my victory lap now that the West was stronger. The top end of the West was stronger than the top end of the East. And we'll move on.
I mean, that's fine. I think Starks played a role, but Deegan rode incredibly well and Beaumaire looked great too. I don't know what happens if like Hamaker starts second with I don't know, but if you want this victory lap, take it. That's fine. Deegan rode probably the best he's ridden all year. So that's what you want.
Great.
Go ahead.
I also thought the Yamaha's at altitude on the hard pack would be 1-2 also with Davies. But anyways, I don't know where to start. The Vial wins the title again. Great work. See you in 450s. Unless Roger guess that thing changed, which could happen. I don't know. But he doesn't – he's not ready for 450s, in my opinion, but we'll see. Good job. I don't know where to start. Like, the RJ thing doesn't happen without Beaumaire slowing down and doing that. But then the RJ thing was – when you could look at the heat race crash of RJ, and then you look at the what he moved pulled. I mean, look at the full RJ experience. He tried to apologize to Mitch Payton after the race. He apologized on social media. Payton, I heard, was not having it at back of the truck from RJ. I interviewed Mitch, not stoked. I can't be a hypocrite and say that that pass was fine because it was for a title and all of that. Because as I said on this show many times, if you attempt a pass and you go down, it's not there. The pass wasn't there. So, Weege, I'll let you kick it off. Like, I don't know where you want to start, but I think poor sportsmanship on Beaumaire. I didn't like that. And RJ. RJ was not doing that for KTM. He was doing that for RJ. So I want to get that out there. It was not a team order, help Vial win because of the KTM group. That was just RJ. I didn't like that move either. Yeah. Seth Hamaker should be champion. Seth Hamaker should be champion.
I'll get to my thoughts in a second, except I do totally agree with that. I feel horrible for Hamaker because he did everything right. They kept stacking more obstacles in front of him. We were waiting for him to crack under the pressure. He was the guy that didn't have this championship experience. Dude, he delivered completely. He got starts. He dominated the heat. He started getting dropped by Vial. And then at that point, you think he's going to panic and then tighten up, but he put it back together. Then he has this sneak attack that I'm sure he was not anticipating from Beaumaire. And then he managed that, and then he managed to handle Beaumaire without ruining his own race. He did everything right, and he still was not rewarded for it. That feels bad. As for the RJ thing, I want to laugh. Like, it's just RJ going RJ to such an unbelievable degree. But I will defer to you, JT, with this take I had not thought of. Please explain this.
Well, I mean, the take is that the pass wasn't enough. You know, I think he could have made that pass without them both going down. I do. So when you say it's not there, I tend to disagree. I think he knew he had to knock him down. Like, passing him wasn't enough. If he passes him and goes on and gets second, he still loses the championship. Like, cool, you got a podium, but you didn't really accomplish what your goal was. The only way he wins that title is if he knocks Seth down. That's it. Like, he doesn't gain enough points because he's not going to catch Deegan. And Beaumaire and Tom were not going to pass Seth. Seth had already exited the building from them. So the only move was knock him down. You're not trying to hurt him. It's a slow corner, but you need him to crash so somebody else passes him. Doesn't matter who. Somebody else has to get in between you and him for the math to work. So I think he understood the situation. You could say it's unsportsmanlike. You could say it's not the right thing. That's all fine. I'm not arguing any of those points. I'm just talking about for the math to work. In that situation, he needed Seth to fall over. It's really that simple.
I had not thought of it that way. I just thought it was RJ going RJ. I'm like, dude, you caught him. Now look, he mostly caught him because Beaumaire was holding him up. But if you're RJ, it's blood in the water. You're like, I just caught this guy and I got 5 minutes to make one pass. And I'm like, you took yourselves down in the very first opening you had. But I had forgotten that, yes, in that position, simply passing him and pulling away, he still would have lost the title. So it was worth the risk, I guess. As far as the morality of that, I try never to weigh in. Everybody's got an opinion. I don't care.
That's all subjective, right? Like, yes. We're not the morals police, whatever. But
I'm not.
I think just understanding the motivation and the reasons behind that type of pass are really important for us, or at least in my mind, for me to share that, because I think that's why he got so aggressive. Like, he didn't, you know, like, that's...
It does bum me out a little bit, only because I wanted the legacy and the legend of this race to be, we knew RJ would go RJ in a must situation, and he did that, and he exploded all over the racetrack and took prisoners down with him and shrapnel everywhere. But it actually sounds, JT, that there was actually some thought. It wasn't just RJ twisting it too much.
Well, he said on social, he feels bad for a decision he had to make. Right.
So, right.
He's like, I had to do that. But yeah. No, man.
No, fine, man.
You knocked yourself down. You knocked yourself down.
Well, yeah, I think his calculus was, can I manage to do this in a way that I don't fall and he does? And as I always say, Quarterbacks don't plan on throwing interceptions. It's really hard to get that desperate of a move absolutely perfectly right. And he got it wrong. But I understand the intent of what he... It looked completely brainless. But now that I understand the point situation, I'm like, I understand the plan. The execution, not perfect. But that is a very hard thing to execute perfectly.
Yeah, that's why you don't do it.
What was he supposed to do, Steve?
Yeah. If you tell me that...
We can start with the heat. You're not supposed to crash all by yourself and almost kill yourself in the heat. So we can start there. You get a bad game pick. He did. That's He rode phenomenal. Irrelevant. He rode phenomenal. But, like, dude, you know, you blew it with the heat race crash that gave you the bad game pick.
It doesn't matter. The heat doesn't matter in this scenario. It doesn't.
Well, it does, because he could have just taken off with the win.
No, you know? He wasn't. I don't think he was going to beat Deegan. Like,
well, who knows? If he gets a better gate pick, who knows? He was riding great.
But you're putting ifs and buts into this. This is in the moment, in this situation. What do you think he's supposed to do? Like, that is the question.
Well, if you want to really knock him down, don't come in like he did. Simply aim for the T-bone, T-bone the guy's front tire coming out of a turn. That will keep you up most likely, and then knock the shit out of Seth.
But
if you're
on.
Really trying to knock a guy down. And again, I go back to the Tomac thing. If he does that, if he absolutely T-bones Seth off the track and wins the title, and the AMA just shrugs?
There you go. They're not going to, though. That's the thing. You can't go in and just blast him into the upper deck of the stadium, because the AMA is going to penalize you something, and it's not going to matter. Vial probably still wins the championship in that dynamic. They're not going to hand it to Seth. They're going to penalize RJ. Vial wins. So you have to make it somewhat close, somewhat a racing maneuver, and you're walking this tightrope of, I can't blast him because I can't get penalized. I have to hope he just tips over, and he did got it wrong. The track's super slippery. He got into the soft stuff and fell over. Like, but I don't think that your take of like, yeah, this is just terrible move. You shouldn't have done that. Like, if you told me I had to knock you down for 600K, put body armor on, man. Like, I'm just telling you, prepare yourself. Like, there's no way that I'm not going in and getting aggressive with someone for $500,000 or $600,000.
Nah, I just don't like it. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, it didn't work, and it wasn't going to work, and we saw what happened. So I don't know, man.
Like, do you know how close that was to working? Like, really close.
Yeah, if Hatmaker's bike isn't on top of his and he gets up before him,
he's gone.
He's got it, because both Beaumaire and Vial will probably pass Seth, and he's got everybody right where he wants him.
Okay. But Seth was getting up right behind him.
But you don't know 10 feet before the corner that's the direction they're going to fall. As he's setting it up, he's like, I got a shot here that we might both go down, and maybe I'll get up before him, which almost worked.
I got to pass this guy. I got to knock him down. I got to get up before him.
No.
And I got to, like, this is all what he's trying to do. This is all. Yeah, yeah. So this is also.
He's not trying to knock himself down also.
Of course.
That happened.
Of course.
Unfortunately for RJ, that happened also.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the difficulty of this, what you guys are saying? What's the difficulty of actually pulling this off?
2%? What is the chances that it works if 3%? He doesn't do it? 0.
What's the percent? I mean, no,
you've never
exactly.
Seen somebody knock somebody down? You've never seen somebody knock somebody down without crashing themselves. I can show you every single weekend.
But now we're also hoping that he doesn't get up right away. Now we have to knock Seth down so that he's out long enough that the KTM guys can get him. So now we're trying to do three things here. We're
trying to do one guy.
Yeah. That's it. And we're trying to do three things perfectly here to win a championship. I don't know. I mean, look,
Steve, it's not three things. All it is, I just need to get this guy to tip over and me not fall. And that's it.
No. He has to also not get up right away.
He's not going to get up in time for Beaumaire and Vial to one of them not get
Dude,
up.
Dude, Vial was so far back. Vial was so far back.
But Beaumaire
like,
wasn't.
Like, they got caught in bikes. But they Beaumaire got caught wasn't. Everything.
Beaumaire was not.
You said Vial. I just don't like it. Like, I know what you guys are saying. I understand what you're saying. I don't like it. I don't think that's the way to win a championship. I don't think that that's going to work. And it didn't work.
Listen,
and I'll stand by that.
Listen, we're not the moral police, though. You can not like it.
Cool.
But you can't take your moral approach to it and then attack it logically.
Logically, this wasn't going to work.
Well, definitely, a 0% chance of winning the title is just passing Hatmaker and finishing second. 0% chance he wins the title that way. Zero.
Yep.
If this has even an 8% chance of working, you're giving yourself 8% better odds.
Chase Sexton could have done that exact thing this weekend. He could have taken the 450 Supercross title by knocking Cooper Webb down.
Yes.
In that same manner.
Yes.
And he chose not to.
And a week ago, he teed him up.
Not really, but yeah. I mean, he did hit him.
Only mad about it because your morals say you should not win it that way. I don't have an opinion on that. That's for everybody else to decide.
Yeah. Right or wrong. That's cool. You don't have an opinion. I do. And Chase Stetson didn't do what RJ did. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody
has an opinion. They don't need to hear what my opinion is. I just thought it was dumb, and now I understand. No, it wasn't dumb. He had a reason to try it. He just didn't pull it off. So it was different than I first saw it in the moment.
Same thing as the bunching. Wasn't going to work. Same thing as...
But the bunching gave him a much better chance than not trying at all.
Yep. Okay, listen. I'll just take the Chase Sexton route if I'm in that position and look back at the season
that I threw away. Chance of working simply because you didn't like it, and those two things are not the same. They're not the same.
I didn't say no chance. I said low chance. It's a very low chance of working.
I see people knock other people down every single weekend, and they lose spots.
Okay.
Every single weekend of the year, somebody knocks somebody else down.
You got to hope that Seth stays down and doesn't get up and all of that and doesn't pass Bomer back and all of that. You got to hope yourself you don't go down. All of that stuff has to happen, and it didn't. And you can't tee him up because, JT, I do agree on that. If you tee him up, the AMA is coming in and is like, hey, man, you know, Seth's the champion. And yeah, so ultimately, Tom Vial wins. Good job, Tom.
Listen, I know you don't like this. You feel bad for Seth. You feel bad for Mitch. Like, you hate the move. I understand all those things. Those are all valid. I'm just trying to objectively put myself in RJ's situation. And what if you're up against the wall and you have no move and you're willing to do anything, which you could say that's not the right thing to do. I'm not arguing any of that. There was a chance this works. And that was his decision to make in the moment. That's it.
Yep. Very low. Very low chance. Very low. Yes. Yep. But I'll take the Chase Sexton route and just sort of look back and be like, God damn, I crashed in the heat. Bad gate pick. I put myself in this spot. It sucks. I also threw away Pittsburgh. I threw away with two laps to go. I crashed and Volin got me. Like, it's just the way I want to win a title. He's already got one. And I'll take the Sexton route. You guys take the RJ route, and we'll have a road warrior out there for you too.
We're not going to say he hit him at Denver at all. We're just going to leave that out of it.
Well, yeah, no, he hit him. I mean, it wasn't.
He hit him a lot harder than RJ hit Seth. Like, they both crashed, but contact for contact?
I don't know. We can put some G-Force ratings on the bikes.
Oh, that's
but
not even close.
I mean,
not even close.
I don't know. So Tom Vial wins. He was not the best guy. Yeah. Two titles in a row. Maybe the most disrespected 250 Supercross champion since Tim Ferry.
Two in a row, though, puts him at a bit higher.
It does.
Imagine if Timmy didn't win races 2 years in a row and won the title.
Yeah.
Like, he only 97'd it one time.
At one point, when Tom was ahead of those guys, I'm like, he's got it. He's riding well. Like,
yeah, he pulled away. Yeah.
He pulled away. I'm like, he's got this. Like, he's not going to make a mistake. Like, you know, all of that. And like you said, Weege, credit to Seth for digging deep and catching him. And Tom's whoops in practice were horrific, but he figured them out.
I have a take on this.
Him, probably bad.
Yeah, well, it's not shocking you think that. Him continuing to blitz the whoops cost him. That is the take. He should have gone to jumping.
Why did you just not think the blitzing was working that well? I mean,
not
it wasn't
for him late. Okay. Not for him. Like, he was getting eaten alive trying to blitz late. And I know he was like, I have to blitz. The only way I'm going to win is blitz. I got to go for it. And we've seen how many times it hasn't worked for him. But I think, like, if you watch J. Coop, like, how good they were getting through there, his blitzing fell off. And Seth was just crushing him there. I think had he gone to jumping, he would have been much better off than he was. I commend the effort of trying. Like, I do. But I don't think on a stopwatch level that it was the best move.
Yeah, he wasn't very good in practice, that's for sure. Trying to do everything.
Scholars will never be able to explain the 2 year run of Vial winning these two titles.
This was so on brand for his championship this year. He consistency'd his way to a title in the last race. He didn't crash. He didn't make the big mistake. He didn't get the run in with RJ or he just was like, I'm just going to be here. And hopefully good things are weighed upon my feet. And
I was shocked at how fast RJ and Seth pulled away from him. I'm like, Tom, what happened? What happened?
I feel like in these last race title scenarios, I feel like when it starts to unravel, it really starts to unravel because the guy's probably panicking, arm pump tightening up, just emotionally, it's all crumbling. That's why I'm so impressed that should have been Hamaker, but he recovered. But I think that's what happens. When it goes bad, it goes extra bad when there's pressure on top and you're seeing it slip away and then it's all falling apart in your head probably. Because he was toast.
Do you guys...
They all were toast at the end.
I said this off the top and I hope you both agree with me. Otherwise, I'm going to stop this recording. RJ didn't do that to help Vial, right?
No.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He did to help himself.
Yeah, I know. I got the whole thing about KTM group and, you know, we got to make sure that one of us gets it and all of this stuff. Because like JT said, he still needed to pass Deegan, which was not going to happen.
That's why he decided to take Seth down.
How much do you guys put on Bomer for this? He was slowed down. His lap time slowed.
A lot.
You know, he knew what was going on. I don't like that either. Shocking. Breaking news. I don't like that either. Like, dude, just ride the race, man. But
I don't like that one as much, for sure. Because when RJ is doing something, RJ is doing it to help himself. This is like two guys fighting over something, and he's willing to – we know RJ. He's willing to do whatever it takes. Bomer is a third party. It's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
I got to say, JT, we missed this. Like, usually these championship weeks, we're in so many darn meetings and plans and all that, and – we usually bench race a million scenarios that do not come true. And I didn't even think of the someone else of the KTM group trying to help. I had not even thought of that scenario. And especially with Bomer going so fast in the heat, I probably should have thought, oh, there's an X factor, because he sure was.
But honestly, when I spoke to him before and on air, he was so adamant about wanting to win. Like I didn't get any impression that he was going to be a team player or even cared. He was just like, no, man, I'm finally good again, and I am so ready to win this race. And for me, I think Justin Cooper's involvement in the 450 championship is about as far as I think team tactics should be a role. You know, I just don't think anything past that. You know, 2017, I'm out on all that stuff. Justin Cooper, like, okay, I'm not going to pass my guy here. That's about as much as I think is like acceptable. The Bobert thing, like, if you're KTM, you love it. But, man, he absolutely played a role on multiple fronts of how this championship went because he got aggressive with Hamaker, which slowed him down. Like, there's no way any of that goes down. RJ doesn't get to him. It changed everything.
He slowed down to let Hamaker – you look at his lap times. He slowed down and then got aggressive, right? Like, 100%. He did, like, two things. You're just like, dude.
RJ never sees him.
Well, did you see how fast he got out of RJ's way also? Like, that's the thing, too. Like, as soon as RJ got there, he just pulled up. Like, it was multiple things that...
No, he slowed down massively when those guys... Okay, cool, I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, and like Weed said, man, Seth did everything right. Like, he just absolutely met every challenge. It was... you really articulated that well, Weed. I agree. Like, all these things were thrown at him, and he came through and... He should be champion. I'd love to know what Seth said to Bomer after the finish when they were rolling there. He looked over at him. I don't know if he said anything. Maybe he just looked at him. But I'd love to know if Seth just started going off on him or whatever.
I was caught in the pen there, the podium pandemonium. And I'm sure you were over there too, obviously, JT, to do the interviews. I wanted to see if there was an interaction between RJ and Seth. Did you see anything, Steve?
No.
They never crossed paths as far as you know?
I didn't see it. No, I didn't. If they did, I didn't see it. Yeah.
Because it's like, Bomer is like, I'm mad at the guy. But RJ, if you're Seth, he'd be like, I would like to strangle him right now if I could. Like, I'm going to yell at one guy and I'm going to punch the other guy.
Yep. DeCosta stroking the white cat. Everything worked out, Raj. Everything worked out perfectly for you guys.
Dude, there's a big difference, Dean. You mentioned 2017, JT. Marv pulling over to make it. To give Dunge a win, or Justin Cooper not passing Cooper Webb. I know I just said I'm not the moral police, but there is a big difference between how two teammates race each other and a teammate hitting another rider on the track and knocking him off the track. That is a big difference. He knocked Hamaker off the track. It wasn't like Marv was punting Tomac to help Dunge that year, or Justin Cooper was punting Sexton this year to help Cooper Webb. You know what I mean? There's a big difference in aggressive racing as a third party.
And if you're Bo Mayer and Seth is yelling at you after the race, you're just be like, yeah, man, that's going to be coming. Yeah.
You're like,
you have to know that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I made a joke about DeCoster, but like also, we're trying to get another 450 rider to take the place of Sexton. And now we have to put you into 450s, pay you more money because you're doing more races. And we got the championship, but you're probably not really ready for 450. So, yeah, great work, Tom. I mean, you can't not win a championship on purpose, right?
That's ridiculous.
But I'm saying if you're
never
Roger and Ian,
take the title if it's there.
I'm saying if you're Roger and Ian, you're like, this is not the greatest scenario.
What is the job of Roger and Ian? What are they paid to do?
I'm just saying, win.
To get their team to win titles.
Yeah. I know. But there's also this factor. So we'll see. That's interesting.
There's plenty of 450 fish in the sea. Take the title.
I'm going to make a bumper sticker, and they're going to be for sale on pulpmex.com. Seth Hamaker is my 2025 250 Supercross East champion. So
Tom Viel not my champion? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I'm going to say Seth Hamaker is my champion. Okay. I'm going to put an American flag in there, and I'm going to put maybe a bald eagle, and I'm going to sell these bumper stickers on pulpmex.com.
Oh, okay.
Combo one right next to it.
I think it's going to be great because Seth, God, I feel bad for him. Yep, that sucks for sure.
Steve, you always play the American angle, man.
I do. I want to sell these. So that's what I thought of. Oh, with the flag and the bald eagle. I want to sell them to all the people that would actually buy these things.
Yeah, but that's not fair to Tom. Like this is
no.
It's racing.
No,
man.
It's racing. Especially when you win two. I'm like, you can't say it's lucky or a fluke if you do it two times.
I mean,
he won two titles. He's clearly doing something right.
How many races did he win last year? Two only, right? On the way. So he won one this year, two last year, I think.
He won two in a row last year. Did he get a third? I know this year only got one.
Yeah. Crazy race.
Like Seth is such a great dude, but this is racing, man. Like it's not, there shouldn't be any negative hate.
No bumper stickers?
Yeah, no, that's not, I don't think that's fair to Tom. Like he didn't ask for RJ to go knock him down. Like he didn't have anything to do with any of that. You know, like he can't help what situations happen. Like that's just racing.
Can 1999. We cover one more thing 1999 here? For the bumper stickers.
Yeah, and you honestly, you know what? You could even say if I'm Tom and you like, I know you're kidding, but like the bumper sticker thing, you like, listen, at Pittsburgh, when my back was up against the wall and I was out of this thing, I went out and won and Seth made huge mistakes and lost points. So get out of here with that. Like, Tom, you can say he wasn't the fastest rider. I would agree with you. All that stuff, but like the points are handed out every single weekend, and Tom ended up with the most of them. Like that's just how it went.
And it is. I mean, Tom's mistake at Foxborough does seem odd that he just got. We talked about this on this pod.
Yeah, we're not even sure if he really did.
We're not sure.
He's not sure.
And I can't. Yeah. I wasn't there, but looking at lap charts and times, I don't get it either. So yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, JT. He did. I mean, dude, he had to beat Thrasher, and it didn't look like he was going to, and he made it happen at Pittsburgh. Those are the points that decided it. I got one other thing we have to discuss here. Pro Circuit, OMG. How many ways can they invent almost winning the title? Every year, you think this is the lowest of the low. You can't get closer. Last year, they had two red plate guys crashing into each other in a showdown. Forkner going out before that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We got a new one.
We had
a new way to not win a title.
We had a guy stuck in Canada. We had a chain break. We had a guy in Vegas throw it away by himself. I'm probably missing some, but yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, it's almost like becoming performance art, how they somehow, and again, they're not doing, I shouldn't say they're doing this. They're not doing this. Like, I mean, the racing gods.
If you really wanted to even throw in this is a little fringe, but I mean, there's no way you could convince me that Kitchen wouldn't have been in this title fight. if he didn't crash at Daytona. Oh. Like I know it was a long time ago, but he would have been either ahead or in this fight.
All right. Well, then 10x that with Faulkner, AC, and all the other guys through the years. It's
Baggett,
unbelievable. 100%.
Marty. Yeah. Marty's chain breaking. Marty. Yeah. It just,
It's
phenomenal. I've said this before. I've compared it to there were times, and Weege would know this, that the Team USA was really close to losing MXDN during that 13-year run. They had Puzar get stuck in the Parc Fermé. Oh, yeah. They had Stanton miracle ride. They had a shock blowout from Stefan Everts.
So
much luck in that 13-year run. And then when it went south, for 8 years where this everything went wrong. And maybe Peyton, because he's got all those titles early, this is what's happening now. But if you want to hear him after the race, my post-race interview, Not stoked. So,
but not as bummed as I thought he would be.
I think his face was worse than his words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
The camera just being randomly on him
when Kitchen died.
Has the camera ever been on Mitch Payton during a race? And like the one time they did it was the exact moment that Kitchen was going over the bars at Daytona, something fierce. I'm just like, what is the black cat here?
At least you guys got that one because you didn't get this weekend. Maxis.com.
Thank you. To see here.
Maxis.com. Yeah, exactly. Maxis.com. Check them out if you can. Jeremy McGrath using Maxis tires. Unbelievable. Great mountain bike tires, of course. Thank you to Maxis for all that they do. And Freddie Norin putting it in the main event. And I got a story about Freddie Norin's team manager for the end of this thing. And Maxis.com. Please check them out. Great tires. Renthal.com. Motorsport.com as well. Thank you to Motorsport guys. OEM and aftermarket parts. They got a new sweepstakes going on. Fly Racing has a package for 1 week giving away. Their brand prize is a Yamaha YZ450. The Motorsport.com guys are not back for the Nationals this year. First time in long time. They're not doing the whole shot thing. And so they're pouring it into these sweepstakes. So check it out. Motorsport.com. Great guys. Get your Fly Racing there. Get your Renthal there. Get your Maxis there. Okay, so with 37 minutes on four guys.
Well, here's what we need to do.
Yeah,
we need to run through the rest of the – like what
– Okay, so –
sixth? Does anyone –
Faulkner broke a chain – or threw a chain off. Okay. Enzo Lopes was seventh until two laps to go and his bike broke. Marchbanks rode really well. He was way back and rode really well. Mosman, no idea how Mosman got fifth. Never saw him. Don't know what happened. He got fifth. Shimoda was underwhelming. Hymus was underwhelming. Volin had to get ninth place in the heat on like the last lap. Simonson had to go to the LCQ, rode really well. And that's about all I got for the 250s. So if you guys want to chime in on any of those other results, go ahead.
No, I think that's probably the 250. Show. Let's focus on the top.
I covered everything I needed to cover in 250.
Okay. Well, glad I'm here.
Did Cullen Park get top five? He did.
In the points, yes. Yeah, not
he
in the
beat
race.
He timed by 1 point.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. All right. 450s from Salt Lake City. These things, unless there's a massive title fight, there's usually very little passion and emotion going on. Sexton. Classy Chase Sexton. Classy Chase Sexton. Doing the right thing. And taking the win, 7 wins to 5 for Cooper Webb. Obviously, you look at Dallas, you look at Tampa, and there's so many points that Chase Sexton threw away. Not to remind him here, but he rode great, and he took the win, and we all thought he would, and it wasn't a big surprise. I do have to say, I know Aaron Plessinger's buddies with Cooper Webb, longtime buddies, and he's teammates with Chase. That guy was like, I'm out. I am out of this. I am exit stage left. I want nothing to do with this because AP grabbed the brakes on the rhythm section. Everyone blew by him, and he just rode around in sixth. Well, I think Joey got him, so he was in fifth. And he just rode around in fifth. I don't know, man. That might be my –
that he was so I'm out that even Savacci beat him? Because that's
– No. Savacci got him later. I don't know what happened. I even missed that point. But – I don't know what – I mean, AP was just – I was very surprised. I get it.
Clearly, he wasn't riding very well because there's no way ever is he thinking about the championship implications and not beating Joey if he can. Never. Never, ever. So clearly, he wasn't either feeling well, bike wasn't working well. he didn't ride well. Something went on other than, like, I'm out of the title. Like, I understand he didn't want to be involved. I'm not, but, like, the reason he got sixth wasn't because he didn't want to be in the title.
I don't, maybe he, maybe Joey rode great and he screwed up late in the race. I didn't see the pass. I don't know what happened there, but he absolutely let Malcolm and Justin Cooper and Cooper Webb and everyone else by and wanted nothing to do with making any decisions. AP made a business decision. He literally almost rolled the rhythm.
I said this on the show last week. I'm sure he was praying all week. Please, dear God, don't put me in a situation where I'm affecting. Yeah. I cannot screw the KTM guy over. I cannot do that. And I love Cooper Webb. So don't make me make the decision.
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought it was a bizarre way to make that decision. But hey, you go, AP. He was like, I'm out.
Either guy. So I'm just going to go nowhere near any of it.
Yep. Yeah. So Malcolm was like, yeah, I don't care, man. I want to win the race. Malcolm rode really well.
Well, they were fighting for third. That was what made the last 2 weeks so interesting. They had two other motivated guys.
Yeah, for sure. And Jay Coop was like, I want nothing to do with getting Cooper Webb, but then I got to go. I got to go. I need third.
He really didn't, though. Like he.
How many points did he get it by?
He was ahead of by six going in.
Oh, six? So, okay.
Yeah, yep. He just needed to make sure that Malcolm was near him.
Yep. I was still surprised.
Coop eventually pass Coop, right?
Yeah, Jay Coop got him. And that's where I was like, wait, what are the points? Why did Jay Coop do that? Like, I, you know, we knew Webb needed fifth, right? To win. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it was honestly a masterclass by Jay Coop 2 weeks in a row of managing this. You know, in Denver, he could not have done it better than he did in Denver. I don't care if you get a million tries in a row, you can't do it better than he did in Denver. This weekend, it wasn't as difficult of a challenge because he just kind of sat back and then Malcolm went by and he said on the podium, credit to Jay Coop. He said, I didn't have anything for Malcolm anyway. But then once he understood that, like, we have a huge gap to Joey, I can go ahead and go around Webb instead of pressuring him, instead of like giving him any sort of like worry about me, I can now go by him and go do my own thing. Maybe I could catch Malcolm. Maybe he makes a mistake or something, but I give so much credit to Justin Cooper for chess match that was happening for him in his mind, managing third in the points, not interfering with Cooper Webb negatively, also not pressuring Coop too much either. You, like, you don't want to be up his inside everywhere, making him think about you. Like, the tightrope he walked for two consecutive weekends, I don't know that I've ever seen somebody do it that well.
And two podiums, 30 grand a podium for Jay Coop, third in the points, got a bonus there too, I'm sure. So good season for Jay Coop. Yeah.
He didn't. Sorry. Go ahead.
Malcolm rode great as well. And look, Cooper Webb, he had that start was huge. He's probably we talked about it earlier in the press box. We're like, he could probably fall in the first turn and still get fifth. But the start was important. And once Cooper Webb got it, that's it. That's all he needed. And he could just ride it out from there. Three Supercross titles puts him ahead of Chad Reed and James Stewart. Unbelievably, right? Puts him in the class of Dunge, Villopoto, Stanton, RC, and McGrath. Right? Am I missing anybody? I think that was
I think there's six guys. Six guys that have.
Oh, maybe
six
Hannah?
Guys with three or more.
Did Hannah have three?
With Stanton and Hannah, and then, yeah, a couple.
Oh, of Hannah. Guys has, okay, so three. Hannah's got the three, right? He's the guy I missed. I mean, that puts him in a class that you would not think of him belonging to when you just think of Supercross icons and all the shit that comes with it. But he's there. Suck it, the haters. Because he's got three titles. Great work.
One of six guys. That's saying something. Like, I understand, and we've had this talk on your main Pulp show and things about, like, I think Tomac's 53 wins or whatever the number is really a strong argument. And the years he was his best, he was so damn dominant. But if you're Webb, you're always going to be able to say you have three titles. Like that's still a really, really big statement to make.
We do talk about Weege more so than you, JT, but we do talk about, like, Stanton's got three titles, but got like 13 wins, Weege, right? Like, not that many wins, but three champs.
More VVL like way of winning.
Yeah. And Stanton gets left behind when you talk about McGrath RC and our Villopoto and, you know, all the guys that we just talked about. And Webb might end up being left out of that when you talk about the memories and also outdoor, lack of outdoor success compared to those other guys on that list that were badasses outdoors. Yeah. So
Stanton was not when you think about Supercross, like, Stanton just kind of muscled his way through it. Like, if you want to talk about motocross races like Daytona, Stanton was in that all-time conversation, in my opinion. But Supercross, man, I think he was just so relentless. The three titles, again, really matters, but it wasn't like he redefined how to ride Supercross or anything even close, you know? Like,
No.
It was a different way of going about it. And even Webb, you could say the same thing. Like, Webb, when you watch him, it's not flashy. He kind of thinks his way through these championships. It's sometimes he's the fastest guy, like Indy this year. There were times, but most of the time it was just like he would find a way to get this thing done. It's just a completely different way of winning Supercross championships than the prototypical, I just smoked everybody all the time that we have with some of those guys. McGrath, Stu, Carmichael, Reed, you know, like that.
It's just he's not in there. Stanton's not in that group when we talk about the all-time greats, and he probably should be a little bit more. But hey, congratulations to Fly Racing, by the way. Thanks. Yeah, you guys really knocked that out of the park.
It's not like, he's going to win the title next year. That we're going to get him. You know, we wanted to be a part of who he is and what he's about, and this was just great timing. So we're thrilled to be along for the ride.
I was impressed with the emotion there at the end, and the upside or downside of the way he does it, which is it's not ever going to come easy for him, right? Like, think about the emotional stress that McGrath was probably under at times winning races. None. No emotional stress. Hold on, I got to go out to the main real quick. Let me smoke these guys for 8 laps and cruise, and then I'll be back. Are those chicks still going to be here? Like, that was the level of stress that he probably had for 60% of his wins. You really saw, like, we admire Cooper for engineering a way and finding a way and being clutch and all that. But I feel like on the podium there, JT, when he started crying, you see the emotional, stressful toll of having to win in that way. Not having some huge line in your back pocket that you can just, I'll just gap these dudes. Like, bro, it takes years off his life, I think, to win this way.
Well, I think that is the result of him knowing deep down. And I think he's said as much. He tricks himself into believing he can get this thing done. Because I promise you, deep down in his soul, he knows he's not as good of a rider as Chase Sexton is. He watches Chase and Jett and these guys do these things that he can't do. He cannot replicate the things they do a lot of the time. He knows that. But he has somehow found a way to mitigate that, really exploit their mistakes, exploit any opening they give him. And I think that's where that emotion comes from. He's like, I found a way against all odds to still make this thing happen again for a third time. For a third time, I found a way to do this.
Yeah, it's admirable.
We talk too much about whoops, I think, but they are really key in a lot of these races. And like just talking to Webb on the Pulp Show 2 weeks ago about Pittsburgh whoops, and he was, you know, I was going to skim them because I can skim them, and I knew I was going to win. But then I saw Nate Thrasher skimming and Vial jumping, and he wasn't really losing it. So on the line, I thought that I would just go to my jump line unless I needed to skim. Then I would start skimming again. Like, he's gaming it, right? He's gaming the system and figuring out what he's going to do to win this. And I'm sure that happens each and every week all the time with Coop about, well, if this happens, I got to do this. And if this happens, I got to do that. And, you know, so, props to Cooper Webb, man. Great job. I'm going to get some of that gear, JT, I think, is what the word is on the street. Is it going to happen? I'm going to get some of that limited edition, no edition gear, I should say.
And I'm going to try for you. Was my answer. I'm going to try. Yes.
Are you going to get me the ugly or the good or the bad?
What do you want?
The bad.
You want the bad. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to do my best for you, as I always do.
I cannot believe you're giving him the option, JT. Send him the ugly
gear. He's going to try. He's going to try.
I'm going to do my best.
Just
all right.
You pick Fly the racing gear based on the brand and the image of the athlete. So please send ugly to Steve.
Well, do you have any classy gear? Because that's really what I believe.
Oh, here we go.
That's really what I should get.
Mr. Moral High Ground.
Seth Hammaker is my champion. That's all I got to say to that. Really like Seth, too. He's a good guy.
Yeah, we all do, man. Like, you can't paint it as that. Everybody. Seth's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. Honestly, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. That VL. goes without saying.
VL, you mean, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, Seth.
No, Seth. No, but VL also, like, don't disrespect VL like that.
Yeah, don't. I mean, Tom didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. But, like, if it's about whether we wanted Seth to win or not, Seth's, of course, that's
Steve, I think for at Fox Raceway, this beautiful number one plate JT and I each have a copy of, you should get one made with a heart shape with a number one and give it to Sexton for not winning the title the classy way, since that means so much to you.
Okay. You know what? I might check out my 401k and cash out of it and give it to Sexton because he should get the title bonus.
Okay.
He should. Yeah.
Based on class.
I think I'm going to clear out my 401k and say, okay, Sexton, you should be the champion. Here's all the money. Here's your bonus money.
Because he didn't play dirty at the end?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a champion. Yeah. Hey, Brunt Workwear. Thanks to the guys at Brunt Workwear. Aaron Hansel, I sat next to him in the press box. He's a really working man. He builds these dumb corn board things, cornhole things, corn boards. I don't know. Board. But, hey, he does a good job. And he wears Brunt Workwear boots because he's a working man. He's a hard-working working man on the Brunt Work boots. And their best-selling Marin boots are not only built for the toughest job sites, they're built for corn boards. They're completely waterproof, whether it's rain, mud, or – I know. I did that on purpose. They're not just about work boots. They got a full line of high-performance gear built for tough jobs. Code PULPMX to save at Brunt Workwear. And you know who else stopped me to talk to me about Brunt Workwear boots? Pedro, Vial's mechanic.
Oh, working.
He's
man.
He's a big Brunt Work Boots guy, and he's stoked that we're now affiliated with them. So he was wearing them at the track.
Does Pedro build corn boards also?
No, Pedro just wins championships with Tom Vial.
Just titles.
And J Mart. Which, by the way, more stories about J Mart this week. More stories. He went to Star this week to go ride. He did a 10-mile run. He came back. He did 2:40s, then went for another 10-mile run. And one of the Star riders asked a manager, do we have to do that? Because I don't want to do that. J-Mart, everybody.
Okay, dude.
This is going to be the greatest thing this summer. I'm here for this. I love it. So, anyways, Pedro, wearing Brunt Work boots, helped J-Mart win championships and now helping Vial win championships. Sorry, Pedro, if you're listening about the Seth Hammaker stuff. Good job. Congratulations. Motorsport.com, Maxxis, Renthal, all on board with us as well. Weege, Onyx Maps.
Onyx Maps has over half a billion miles of trails mapped out. That's 500,000 plus miles of trails, public and private land. You can even find out some of the landowner names, so maybe you can massage some relationships and link some more trails together, get even more land. You can leave notes for people with trail guides and things like that. Most map apps are not built around trail riding. This helps you if you've got an adventure bike, a dual sport bike, an enduro bike, if you're an off-road guy, if you're a mountain biker, if you're an e-mountain biker like Steve, and maybe JT will be soon. JT, you might want to download this one because it sounds like you're actually going to ride mountain bikes for the first time in your life. Go to onxmaps.com.
100,000 miles of trails.
JT's an e-biker guy now, so we'll see what happens. Hey, by the way, before we move to 450s a little bit more, and we don't got a lot to say about that, but Cole Davies' crash was horrific, and I was worried we had another Jerry Robin scenario on our hands because he did not move. Poor kid. And I think he's got a broken arm, and I don't hear anything else. Obviously, he's probably got some other
ribs, maybe.
Okay, but like moving everything and going to be okay. Did we get an actual real report on that?
Did you see the picture with his Rookie of the Year? Because that was amazing.
No.
Yeah. We're talking about this on Insider Weege, so maybe we'll save it for that. But Davies took a picture with his Rookie of the Year award in the hospital.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah, I saw it. They had someone get up there and
catch the fever.
Yeah. So we hope he's for the best. Poor Jordan Smith. He had nothing Jordan could do. That was really on Davies. He cased the rhythm, slowed up, moved over. Jordan was in the air. Oh, man.
You think, like, I think Jordan maybe a little bit. Like,
oh,
10%.
Wow.
Like, if somebody stopped in the track, you have to check up also. Like, you can't just keep going as if nothing's happening in front of you a little bit also.
Well, I saw the Triumph Team video, and it looked to me from the Triumph Team video, because Davies was on the far right on the video, Jordan was in the air. So
which part though? Like Jordan was stepping off when it happened.
Jordan was going over he took off the table, I believe.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, I would like to see that video also, but I'm just saying, like, when something's happening in front of you, you see somebody stopped rolling around, making a mistake, like somewhere in your mind, you have to have a backup plan of like, I'm going to check up here because it's practice. So I don't know. I don't want to cast judgment. It's not even about that. I just, when I watched it, I was like, man, did Jordan not know? Because he rolled like three jumps, Davies did. I'm like, did you not see that he was rolling here? Because you had a little bit of time.
All right. So bad deal. Jordan couldn't race either. He had the contusions on his back and everything else. And then in honor of Chris Betts, like, we need to touch on Deegs. He rolled great. That might have been Deegs' best supercross ever. That quad he was doing at the end of the rhythm, like pulling that out, no problem. That was a great ride by Deegs. Just see you later. Yep. So I don't think we even touched on it. But
well, we did at the very beginning. I mean, yeah. that was the performance that we thought we would see for the entirety of 2025.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. When we went into the season, we all thought that's what we were going to get. We didn't really see it. And then there it was. So you could say it was no pressure. You could say, I don't care what you say it was, but that's the guy we thought we would see.
Yeah.
For the last 4 months. And we finally got it.
Yeah. Rode great.
I just love, this is how the season ends. This is so good. This is so Deegs. If you go back and watch a press conference, the last question asked all year, it might've actually been by our friend, Mr. Side. I'm not sure. Someone said, hey, Beaumaire and Deegs, you know, you both worked your way into a little rivalry, and actually it was Gypsy Jace asked, hey, Beaumaire, you were like the first guy to kind of give it back to him. It kind of raised both your profiles. It was exciting to watch. Do you look back now that it's over and say, like, that was actually fun to have this, like, back and forth? And Beaumaire said, absolutely, it was fun. He kicked my ass 6 weeks in a row. I didn't win the title. I'm bummed on that, but it was fun to have the rivalry and whatever. And I'm like, let's see if Deegs takes the, yeah, man, it's just racing. Nah. No, this is the last answer of the press conference all year. He says, yeah, the dude was beating me at the beginning of the year. I had to figure out a way to break him mentally. So I rode him dirty and I trash talked him and then I broke him mentally and I won. And he's clout chasing. He gained a lot of followers because he was battling me. And I'm like, that's how we end it, baby. That's,
yep. That's
how Deegs ends it.
Yep. All right, back to 450s. Good job for Joey, fifth. AP 6th. We talked about Dean Wilson, 7th. Dean could barely walk at the end of the night. He tweaked his back at the Honda track. And, dude, he looked like literally Grandpa Earl walking out of the pits. Like he
couldn't walk at the beginning of the night. I saw him before.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was walking like Grandpa Earl. One of the reports I was going to do, if my mic worked, was on his bike. So I'm like, Dean, you have to qualify through the heat. If you have to go to the LCQ, your bike's not going to be there when I need it. So I'm like, I don't care what you do in the main. I don't care. You better be in the top 9 or this whole thing's blown. And he's like, crush drop, man, I got it. What's that?
Yeah.
He was crushing the whoops. I mean, absolutely crushing them.
And he pulled a start in the heat. He told me that any idiot could pull a start on his bike, which
Yeah. We're back?
We're back. Yep.
We're back.
Yep. Wow. So good job for Dean with that back injury and like JT said, crushing the whoops. He caught and passed Justin Hill again. Another battle, then he pulled away. By the way, I'll let both of you know, Lars is shaving that goatee. It's not good. He knows it's not good, but he just did it because he wasn't around his wife. So he will be shaving that goatee off. He's a handsome man, and he's ready for the Outdoor Nationals. So just want to let both of you know that.
He looked like he was like in Sons of Anarchy or something.
Yeah, not good look. Shane McElrath was good again. He went down late. His hand blew off the bar when he landed off that quad thing off the table. I think he went off the table when he did it. And he went down. But, dude, he was right in the mix. Fifth place, right in the mix. Shane McElrath the last 6 weeks has been really good. Take out that mud podium because it's just a goofy thing. But that guy's rode really well. Qualified well, in the mix, good starts. And he was in it again until he crashed. So shout out Shane McElrath.
Yeah, he's finally got it. He's finally figuring something in the 450 class out. Like,
yep.
He's showing the talent, I think, that everybody knew he had.
I haven't looked at the results, but I think, in my mind, he's right around Colt Nichols to start the year. And he just got better, and Colt kind of stayed the same, you know? And so he's ridden much better. Dylan Ferrandis, didn't notice him much. He went backwards a little bit. And then I heard he's out for outdoors. Did you guys hear this?
Heard maybe.
Oh, I heard he was out. So, Christian Craig, 11th. Christian had a hell of a practice. He went down twice hard and then got 11th again. I think he got 11th last week, 10th or 11th last week. So it was a little better. Now, Craig's been told to stay ready for outdoors. We know Coop's got this thumb thing going on. I don't know, man. If Coop pulls out of outdoors after winning that third title, I would not be surprised. He's done it before.
Realistically, I think him admitting that it's torn now, I would almost guarantee he's going to get it fixed. Because what's he going to do? He's going to race all summer, the playoffs,
okay,
go into another season with it torn.
He has said that he has it before, months ago. He's like, yeah, I'm racing outdoors. It's not a problem. My thumb is not a problem. I'm racing outdoors.
But he had never admitted until last night that he tore his UCL again. He has never once publicly admitted he tore it again until last night, which I think knowing that publicly.
Oh, you're saying he publicly said it to set everybody up?
Well, no, I just think he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to tell everybody. But just on are you going to enter 2026 with this injury still there basis? He needs to get it done soon so he can race playoffs and have a full offseason again. Like, I don't think he wants to get it done like October 1. That's not a good setup.
This is a masterclass in avoiding the outdoors. His career is a master. And they're all legit. It's all legit. I'm not saying.
Did you see the press conference, what he said?
Yeah. He said, I don't care about outdoors.
He pretty much laid it out there. How his mindset is for outdoors anyway.
It was funny. He spared the guy. He's like, you don't have to finish the question about outdoors. The guy was still asking the question. He's like, hold on, man. Don't even bother asking me about outdoors. Just save your breath.
Yeah. But again, like, it's all legit, but it's a masterclass of Cooper Webb avoiding the outdoors over his career. And it's been injuries, and it's been different stuff. And, you know, at one point it was like, I'm doing my own suspension on a KTM. And then KTM's like, yeah, man, you're just causing problems. Go home. Another master class. He was causing problems. They told him to go home. He's like, cool, I'll go home. Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're paying him to race outdoors, right? Like, I understand that side of the coin, but you can get away with a lot when you win the Supercross Championship. Yeah. I'll just put it that way.
Yep. Yeah.
Colt Nichols, 12th. I did an interview with him afterwards, and I said, no offense, man, but you were kind of Mr. Invisible all year, and he agreed because he really was. Because was there any moment where Colt Nichols was like, hey, man, he's fifth. He got to start. Like, no. No. Never. But sometimes there was times where he came from last to 15th or 14th, and you're like, good ride. But you never noticed him much. Chisholm got opening ceremonies. His final race is a full-time Supercross guy. Zero chance that Chiz does not ever race Supercross again. He will be back on the line somewhere at some Supercross. But they did give him opening ceremonies. And that was kind of cool. So good job, Chiz. He rode well, too, 14th. Better ride
JT,
for him.
You covered the press conference on Friday because we were supposed to co-host it. I was sleeping at the airport because my flights were canceled. Did I hear a subtly veiled shot at Phil and his retirement last year from you with Chiz?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we don't get as many parties. Hopefully it just doesn't drag on for the next decade like Phil's racing this summer. So
yeah. I know you said, didn't you say like Phil, you know, allegedly retired last year or something like that?
I said something. I don't remember my exact wording.
It was just a subtle dig at Phil retiring after he retired.
And then Michael Lindsay asked the question, said, are we going to do three parties for you too? Or, you know, and then you're going to be back. Like, so yeah, it was fantastic. Just
Phil.
Yeah. So that was it for Chiz. Benny Bloss had bike problems early in the main. And then his teammate, Mitchell Oldenburg, KO'd himself. Said he was not KO'd, though, but looked like he was KO'd in practice. His chain came off, and it was not good for Mitchell Oldenburg. And I'm going to save this rant, Race Tech rant. Thanks to the folks at Race Tech, by the way. I don't plug them enough on this show, racetech.com. I'm going to save this Race Tech rant until it's official. But let me just tell you what I'm loading into the chamber for the Race Tech rant. It's not unleashed yet because I got to get to the bottom of it. But I heard there was no 450 Rookie of the Year being handed out because Oldenburg had raced too many races. He had 15 career 450 Supercrosses coming into this year. This was his first year as a full-time guy, and he did pretty well. Beat Benny, number one beta rider. But I heard the AMA was not giving it out because there just was no button. It was Prado. Two races, or it's Oldenburg, too many races, and that's going to cause a rant. So,
okay. When I think rookie, you think hot, young, up-and-coming talent, which includes Troll Train on that list.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like
it doesn't quite fit.
I feel like Troll Train getting it. Now, he had no 450 Supercrosses in his career, but he's at 600 races under his belt.
He was like 30.
Yeah. So if you're going to give it to a 30-year-old, then Oldenburg, with, you know, less than a season's worth career, should get it as a full-time guy.
Okay.
Hashtag never change, AMA. We'll see, though.
Love those guys. Love those guys. Great decision makers.
Yeah.
Great decision makers.
Yeah. All right.
Can't
yeah.
question it.
Great work.
Never change. Like, I really mean that, guys. Never change.
What else we got? Anything else?
I got a couple stories.
Okay.
By the way, Benny saying last week, what did he do? He gained 8%. He grew up 8% with Jeff, his dad. Last
yeah,
week,
yeah, yeah, 8%, not scared of him, 8% less.
I believe the percentage went up a lot.
Oh,
on Saturday night. You might want to check in with him. I believe he's a lot less scared now.
Oh, what happened?
Well, that's a lot more.
I don't know. I think there was some heat. That's all I know. There was heat between him and Jeff.
A lot more scared.
What?
No. Apparently, a lot of the fear went away because I think they were yelling at each other.
Oh, so it's like you faced the, he faced the fear.
I think he faced the fear, yes. Okay.
All right. Yes.
So it was 92% last week. So you're saying it's way down than that.
It might be like 50% scared now. Where he was 100, then it was 92. It might be down to only 50%.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Check in on that.
I want to talk about Jericho a little bit. Our buddy Derek Rankin, he is the biggest wrestling fan in the world. We did a wrestling trivia contest with Weej a few years back. This guy,
I can't compete.
He goes to Jericho doesn't just go to WWE stuff. He goes to like second and third tier minor league wrestling events, like ringside. Sits ringside. He brought Bogle to one.
Like where Mickey Rourke was wrestling in that movie?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Jericho, he's got a Chris Jericho tattoo on him. And
wow.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin is also his maybe second favorite wrestler. And Stone Cold is affiliated with Cowie for the UTV racing. He's also affiliated with Maxxis, who is the Maxxis tires on the team with Bubba Pauly and Freddie Knorr. And Derek is the manager slash crew chief there. What's that? Stone Cold?
My Stone Cold Steve Austin DVD set. Always handy. Okay. Always within arm's reach.
Wow. So I've been working on this for 2 years, trying to get a Stone Cold Derek meetup because just I knew this would make his day. It's like me meeting, you know, Sammy Hagar, which I was close to, and then it's gone now, like Rome. It was just a whisper. And so it finally happened. Like, thanks to Cowie, Ken at Cowie, and thanks to Chris at Maxxis. So, I don't know exactly who to thank. They're both taking credit. Whatever. Derek hugged me at the end of the night. He hugged me. And he's not a hugger, but he hugged me because I also was pressuring these guys to make it happen. Somehow, Derek got to go fly to somewhere up north of Reno for a UTV race with Stone Cold, hung out with Stone Cold on Thursday night, has his phone number.
Whoa.
They drank beers with Stone Cold. He worked on Stone Cold's UTV off-road team. He shot a promo for Stone Cold's UTV team with Stone Cold watching. And Weed, you know if that's a work or a shoot. I don't know. So when Stone Cold first meets him, Derek said that he thought that Derek was a representative of Kawasaki and that Stone Cold's UTV team is coming up for a contract deal with Cowie. So he was being really, really proper and polite with Derek, thinking Derek could pull the trigger on a Cowie UTV deal. At some point it comes out that he couldn't. And Derek says, yeah, man, I was on this podcast, and he shows him the Pulp Show.
Oh, and, God.
Yeah, and Stone Cold, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here, man. Like, I'm just a fan. And then Stone Cold lets his guard down a little bit. And then Derek said, listen, man, I also don't want to freak you out, but I don't know what to do anymore with myself. I can't believe I'm here. And I love Chris Jericho, and I have a Jericho tattoo. So Stone Cold says, show me this tattoo. So he shows him, it's on his arm. He shows him the tattoo. And he says, Stone Cold goes into, what is it, Weej, when you're a character, a work or a shoot?
Work is the fake. Work is the character.
Shoot, so he goes into a work, grabs his hat, throws it on the ground, and goes, God damn, I can't believe that, you Jericho fan. He's a piece of crap, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Then he sends the tattoo to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho sends a video back to Stone Cold, talking to Derek, but says in the video, I forgot the guy's name with my tattoo. but it doesn't matter.
Oh, he doesn't care.
It doesn't matter.
No.
And so Stone Cold, he's got Stone Cold's number in his phone. They've exchanged messages. He worked on the pit crew and showed up at Salt Lake City, hugged me on cloud nine. Stone Cold seemed like a really good dude, which he did seem like that in that documentary Weege on Vince McMahon. Stone Cold came across awesome.
Yeah.
And Derek Rankin, Eric A. Jericho, his life is complete.
It doesn't really get any better than that. Like, not just like, hey, can I get a selfie and an autograph? Like,
no.
Real hanging out.
Yes. Crushing beers and you know, talking shit and everything. And he said Stone Cold does know about Supercross, but he just knew about Bob Hanna. He said Bob Hanna was his favorite rider.
Bob Hanna.
Yes, Bob Hanna. Yeah.
This would be like if Sammy and what's the guy's name? Phil Kessel. Is that a guy?
It was a guy. Yeah, I don't know where you're coming from.
They were video messaging about Steve back and forth while Steve is with Sammy.
Yes, like, yes.
That's what's happening.
Yes, Austin Matthews sends Sammy a video of me, about me. Pretty cool. I'm glad it worked out.
That is awesome. Good on you, Stone Cold. And back on planet Earth, I was over trying to get my microphone to work to interview Jordan Smith and RJ after the heats. And I just see... For folks that haven't been in the Salt Lake City race, the pits are like a mile-long city block of semis, and it's slightly uphill. It's like, if you're leaving the stadium, you have to walk uphill to get to your rig. After the heat, I just see Freddie Norin walking. No motorcycle, just walking uphill. Freddie's always in a good mood, but he looked so miserable walking up this hill. I'm like, where is his bike? Where is his team? Why is he walking this 1 mile uphill to the semi? I think we know the answer.
What?
Jericho runs the team. Jericho was not engaged in the process of helping Freddie at all on Saturday.
Yeah. No.
Freddie,
no,
you're on your own. Walk back to the pits after the heat.
Yeah, they were wondering if Derek was just going to drive a UTV off a cliff.
Could be like, I'm good.
My life is done.
Yep.
Yes.
Can't get any better from here.
Yep.
Freddie,
yep.
They probably, did they even wash Freddie's bike between Denver and here?
No, probably not.
Probably didn't
not.
Even have a clean filter in it.
No, not at all. In more international Supercross race team news, we got Freddie, we got Derek. Bubba Pauly is retired. He quit, but Bubba Pauly's done. He came back this year, made a main in the mud, and he said he was done. So that's it. Bubba Pauly, long time privateer guy. So,
okay.
Yep.
Parties, maybe?
Parties.
Couple retirement parties maybe for Bubba, a couple.
Oh, yeah. We'll get a couple of those. Also, yeah. I got a text after the main from Ricky Gilmore, suspension tech for Coop and J. Coop. It said, come rev the bike. And I'm like, nope, not doing that. Now, I did rev Deeg's bike last year.
Did.
Duff let me do that. And I did it twice and I shut it down because that's all you needed to do.
So can I give you some of the burnout story reports since I knew you were not there?
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, I don't know if people on video can see this mark on my arm. That's from hot molten lava coming off of Webb's bike. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because I still had my like sport coat on and like long sleeves and like something went in there and I couldn't get it. And it's like getting hotter and hotter and it's burning.
Mm.
It's either exhaust or tire or something. Deegs was revving the bike so much that Star Racing, always looking for that final edge, apparently said, no, don't blow the engine up. It's a $20,000 engine. Don't blow it up. So they apparently cut the wires to stop Deegs from revving a bike. So Deegs realized, well, Cole Davies' bike is sitting there and it's barely been used. So he stole Cole Davies' bike and then rides it over to the KTM truck so he and Vial can do burnouts together on Davies' bike.
Oh, I saw some videos of this and I was wondering, why is he on Davies' bike? And I was thinking it was some sort of flex.
Like, stop, we don't blow the engine up. So he just took Davies' bike, which was prepared but not really used.
Wait, one more Stone Cold story.
Hold on, I gotta go soon, guys. This Stone Cold hour.
No. One more. Stone Cold said he knows Bob Hanna and he knows Hayden Deegan because he had Brian on his podcast and said Brian is an awesome promoter. He's exactly like a wrestling promoter. He thinks that way. So just another little tidbit there, which I'm like nodding in approval. I'm like, oh, you don't say. So Stone Cold knows two riders.
I don't know if we can end the podcast on a better note than the Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling superstars in history. Same Brian Deegan thinks like us.
Yep. So we also, you got an injury from a burnout? There's a little injury from a burnout? Okay.
Very dangerous.
Yep. Okay. Got to know.
Very dangerous.
Fantastic.
I got plenty more stories from the weekend, but we've been doing this for an hour and a half.
All right. Well, listen, thanks
to Bobby Reagan stories.
Oh,
it's great.
You guys can carry on if you want. I got to go, though.
Okay. You got to go. Let's carry on.
Let me tell this Bobby Reagan story once you go, JT.
All right. Sounds good.
So I'm trying to get deep stories from the pits to use on television. I'm like, I know. I'm going to talk to Bobby Reagan about winning a 450 Supercross title with Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb has been his guy.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Webb, you know, had him and Jay Mart living in a Freightliner back in the day. He'll get so emotional. He'll have such deep, respectful things to say. No, Bobby was first, beside himself over Davies getting hurt, really upset about Davies getting hurt. And that's actually great that he cares that much.
Yep.
You know, he didn't like move on and say like, grab the next guy. Like he was really bummed about Davies getting hurt. But then as we talked about Davies, he talked about how much he loves the fact that Davies blitzes whoops and how much he hates guys that jump whoops, which I thought was shocking because his two 450 riders are kind of the whoop jumpers.
Well,
and I did bring that up.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, he doesn't like that Jay Coop is so good at jumping whoops that he thinks it convinces Cooper Webb to do it more, which he does not like.
Hmm.
So then I'm like, all right, I'm trying to get back to the positivity. I'm like, all right, but what about Cooper Webb winning? Really not interested in that. And I was like, will there be a party for Deegs? Deegs didn't really celebrate last week because no one expected him to win. His mom wasn't there. They didn't have champagne. They had nothing ready last week. Will there be a party tonight at this rig? And he said, if Deegan doesn't blitz the whoops every lap of the main, we ain't celebrating nothing over here.
Wow, Bobby, big blitzer. Big blitzer guy.
That is Bobby in a nutshell. Never satisfied. They were on the verge of winning two of the three titles. But if his guys jumped whoops, even for one lap in that main, he was going to be pissed off. But Deegs came through. He blitzed the whoops every lap.
Yep.
Because he knew they wouldn't be able to celebrate. That's Bobby Reagan, everybody.
That does fit, right? Yep, that does fit. I'm surprised.
Never, ever, ever stops. Never satisfied.
No. Yeah, Will Hahn's going over there, too, by the way, to manage the 250 team now. He's officially
done. You know why?
Yep. Why?
He said, I'm bringing Will back. Great whoop guy.
Oh. Wow. Yep. I mean, if there's one thing from Will Hahn's career, I mean, we all said it. We all saw it every week, right? God, look at Will Hahn through those whoops. Look at that. No one can stop him.
Hey, some guys can teach. You know?
I guess.
I mean, apparently he was a big part of Davies like a year ago, and look at Davies now. So.
No, honestly, I talked to Cole's dad, and he is over the moon with what Will has done for that family. And
oh, my
Cole.
God, do they love Will. The Davies family loves Will Hahn.
Yes, so, like, I got to think that they see the future. They're already looking, like, past Hayden, right? He's on his way to 450s. And they're looking at the future, and it's going to be Cole Davies. And they're like, well, they love Will Hahn, and let's, you know, Will's looking to make a change. So I think that probably a lot to do with it over there.
Great whoop guy.
Great whoop guy. Yeah. I mean, Malcolm, you know, Sexton, Hahn. Yeah.
Pastrana at Daytona.
Yeah.
Hahn.
Yep. Hahn. He's going to listen to this and just not be happy with us. All right. Yeah. Good job to Cooper Webb and Deegs and, Seth Hamaker.
RJ.
Seth Hamaker.
Oh,
good job, Seth.
God.
Unbelievable.
You're horrible.
Dude, how much does Tom give Bomer out of his championship bonus?
Oh, God, stop.
Half?
Stop. You can't get lucky twice, man. He won two titles. I can't
take it away from him.
I don't like it. But he did.
I like Tom Vial. He's a nice guy. I don't really know him that well. He's always a really nice guy to talk to. And obviously, look, and our idiot friend Lewis brought up a great point. Like, dude, two 250 MX2 world titles and two Supercross titles. Like, that's kind of gnarly. That's pretty damn good.
Okay, you can't get lucky four times. It's just my point. At this point, I don't know what it is, but it clearly works. I can't knock it. That would be ridiculous at this point.
But I got a thumbs up on my screen when I do this. Anyways, okay. All right, that's it. Fly Racing Racer X Review Pod. Congrats on the number one plaque, Weej. It's great. You should give that to Seth. You should mail that to Seth.
Rarick?
No, Hamaker.
Hamaker.
Congrats on your AMA Media Award. Congrats on that microphone. Congrats on the watching Deegan ride around by himself on the last lap. Also, congrats on that.
I hope to see you make that heart-shaped number one for Sexton.
And give him
champion
my four
in your heart because he did it classy. He
and
did
give
it classy.
Him my 401k. Yeah,
he did it classy. I hope you never see an NFL game at the end where they try to throw a 80-yard Hail Mary and you say it's not going to work. Just give up. Not going to work. Just give up.
Fly Racing race
teams fouling down the stretch, praying that the team misses free throws while the clock's not expiring. Just give up. It's not going to work.
This pod is dedicated to Seth Hammaker and Stone Cold. That's what this pod is dedicated to. Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Salt Lake City Review. Thank you, everybody. And thanks, Weege. Thanks, JT.
Bye.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't.